And we're talking about breast cancer in men. So we were talking to Eric Dunlap. He was able to find his lump. You noticed it a year before, but the that whole year that went by, and then you found it, and then you had to go to the doctor, told that you had breast cancer. So let's talk about what your treatment was, what stage was your cancer, and moving forward, do you do self-breast exams just like women do?
Okay. Well, I treatment-wise, the treatment for men is really identical with the treatment for women. Depending on the size of the mass, and once the doctor is doing the analysis, they can make a determination as to when a person needs to have a radical mastectomy versus just having a lumpectomy, which is removal of a small portion of the area that's considered to be cancerous.
And what did you
have? I had a radical mastectomy, which means they actually removed all of the right side of my chest as far as the breast tissue on the right side. The surgeon went underneath and also did a simultaneous reconstruction. And what that means is they basically extracted muscle from my back, placed it in my chest, so the right side is solid muscle. And so breast cancer really doesn't have a chance to come over there because there's no breast tissue that would harbor that type of growth that I had. I have to have a mammogram, and that's something that most men will never have to encounter. But in order to ensure that the left side is safe and that I'm doing okay on that side, I have to have a yearly mammogram. Now, it's not something that I planned to do in my life that wasn't on my agenda, but the bottom line is we have to get it done.
What stage was your cancer,
Eric? I was at stage two.
Stage two.
Which, okay. At my stage and the size of my tumor, stage two caused me to have chemo for 6 months.
And radiation?
And no radiation.
No radiation,
and,
okay.
Which, my mother is also a two-time breast cancer survivor, and she was diagnosed 4 years prior to me. She had to have a lumpectomy because her tumor was smaller, and she underwent radiation treatments on both occasions.
So, doctor, let's pull you into this part of the conversation as well, because, of course, we know with Eric, he says he does self-breast exams just like I do them. Let's talk about what signs men should look out for. With Eric, he talked about spotting. He talked about pain in his chest. Are those the normal risk factors that men see, or are there others?
Well, those are the signs and symptoms that men should be aware of. They could get a swelling or a lump in their chest wall. It could be painless. Most of the time, cancers are painless. The fact that it probably had an inflamed the area where your lump was inflamed, which is what, if you were listening earlier, Mr. Dunlap described this excruciating chest pain that he was having. Right. And it was probably inflammation or reaction around the lump.
Right.
But usually a cancer doesn't cause pain. There might be puckering or dimpling of the skin, meaning that the lesion is underneath the skin, but it's starting to grow and it's pulling the skin. So you might get a pucker or dimpling. You could even have, depending on where that mass is located, if it's right under the nipple, you might even have nipple retraction. So as it grows, your nipple used to poke out. Now it's starting
going
to pull in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have redness or swelling or the skin that looks like the peel of an orange all around. And those are more advanced signs of breast cancer. And then the main one that he described was nipple discharge. And you could have a bloody nipple discharge, which is a major key.
My goodness. Well, we have a phone call or question on line six. But before that, we want to give you the number again in case you have a question that you'd like to ask of the doctor or of our survivor, Eric Dunlap. That number is 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. We'll be happy to put you on and get your question. Now, we're going to go to line six. We're going to talk to Beverly in Buckhead, who has a question. Beverly, what's your question?
Hi, I just needed clarification on what the doctor said earlier about did she say there's no, cancer just happens and we don't know how it happens?
Cancers are mainly sporadic, meaning they just occur. There's no associated reason why a cell in your body decides to grow abnormally. Okay.
Is there a link between nutrition and disease?
In certain disease processes, yes, there is a link. For instance, for colon cancer, for instance, you know, a high fatty diet that's been associated with developing colon cancer. As far as breast cancer goes, the risk factors aren't related to diet so much, except for maybe if you talk about alcohol and having increased consumption of alcohol, which could produce cirrhosis of the liver. And then you're not able to, your liver's not able to produce those proteins that help with your estrogen conversion, your androgen-estrogen conversion. And having this increased amount of estrogen floating in the body is one of the thought processes related to you developing cancer. So that's why they say some of the risk factors are just your age in general is a risk factor for developing breast cancer. Increasing in age, having a family history puts you at risk. It doesn't necessarily
mean you're going to be diagnosed
with it, but it increases your risk. Having inherited gene mutations puts you at risk. What else?
But let me, while you're talking about the factors, I want to jump in and tell Beverly as well. You know, it's funny because I now make the history for cancer in my family up until this point. Because even like Eric, when I went to find out that I did have breast cancer, I never thought that could happen. There was no family history. I worked out religiously. I drank seldomly. Mm-hmm. I did not smoke. I was 35, just turned 36 years old. Mm-hmm. So all of the point markers that should have been checked off for me weren't the case.
Right.
So, you know, for me, I have no idea where mine came from.
Right. And hence why most cancers are sporadic. Mm. They just occur. And you can't say...
Which is so frustrating.
It is very frustrating. But what you do is you still live that healthy lifestyle
yes.
that you were living.
Yes.
Okay? Because that is supposed to decrease your risk. But on the other hand, most cancers just happen to occur, and we don't know the cause of why cells in a patient or a person decide to grow abnormally.
That's the thing that used to scare me to pieces is, you know, most things you have a cause and effect. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this won't happen.
Right.
Cancer is just not one of those things.
Right.
Don't forget, you can call us if you have a question. We are really appreciative. People have been calling in with some really, really good questions tonight, and we appreciate it. Again, let me give you that number, 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. And we're also on social media. If you want to tweet me at Jaquetta W or tweet at CCRTD, I'm checking my Twitter feed to see if you guys have a question, because I'm more than happy to put you on. 404-880-9255. So let's talk about, since we're talking about nutrition and diet, what did you do differently, Eric, in order to make certain that, you know, hopefully that you'll have 13 more years of being cancer free?
Well, I began a greater exercise regimen. Now, at times you may not get everything you want in every week with exercise, but I did begin to eat better. I mean, there's still times when I would have the splurge items that I would eat. But I haven't had a hamburger from a fast food restaurant. I mean, there's some restaurants that I'll get something from, but for the most part, I won't name any restaurants because I don't want to give them a bad take. But before getting diagnosed, I'm not going to deny, I was consuming a lot of hamburgers, a lot of red meats from fast food restaurants because it was quick, it was easy, I could get it, and it was filling. But it wasn't filling me up with the right things. And I'm not attributing that to breast cancer, but it's like anything else. If you are consuming things that cannot add value to your system, that are nutritionally nowhere, they basically have no vitamins in them whatsoever, then what are you putting in? And more importantly, what was placed in that before you ate it? It's not green, so it's obviously not going to have some of the nutrients that it would need. So I just started changing some of that, eating more fish, more salmon, things that have a greater impact. Now, you know, there you always have your foods that you like that,
your
you know,
splurge days,
your splurge days,
your cheat
here,
days.
But
they just can't be every day.
It can't be every day. And,
right.
And that's the key.
One of the things that I will say that I've done, I have upped my juicing. You know, anything green, the darkest greens I can get, from spinach to kale to romaine lettuce, and put an apple in it and maybe a lime or a lemon. And I mean, I do that daily, sometimes twice a day, 36 ounces, just to kind of get everything in there to have it percolating and making certain that, you know, I'm being proactive to keep myself from having cancer return for me as well. Doctor, I know that, and for Eric as well, I know a lot of men particularly find it embarrassing in some ways to talk about, particularly being diagnosed with breast cancer. For you, Eric, you were talking about how you speak across the country, and you were talking at an event, and there was a man in the audience who was also a breast cancer survivor. Right. However, he didn't make that known publicly. He kind of came over to you quietly and said something about it.
You know, because it's a disease that is associated immediately with women, and everything is pink in the month of October. And so a lot of men, you know, they look at it and say, it's a woman's disease. Well, it's a disease, period. And surely I didn't ask for it.
Of course.
And so we have to deal with it as it's presented. And the key that I thought was so important is that I make sure that other men are aware that it could happen to you. It could happen to your son. It could happen to your daughter. It could happen to anyone in your family. And if you're not taking the time to check yourself out from time to time, put yourself on the list of priorities and your body on that list of priorities, then you could be going down a road that could lead you to death. And had I not gone into the doctor when I did, especially when that lump was noticed, my doctors plainly told me that I would have died because the cancer had already made it to my lymph nodes.
Oh, my.
And so for people who don't think it's a serious issue, untreated, undetected breast cancer, the person has about a 5-year shelf life.
And doctor, you've treated, you said three or four.
Mm-hmm.
So the treatment is pretty much on par with the same treatment that you or I would get, correct?
Exactly. It's based, treatment for all cancers are based on the stage. So if you had an advanced stage breast cancer, you would, most men undergo a mastectomy. This is usually followed with radiation, plus or minus chemotherapy in some instances. And if it's a very early stage where it's not invasive, but it's contained, surgery would suffice, and they may not follow up with radiation therapy. But like I said, the majority of men with breast cancer get a mastectomy followed with chemotherapy and then radiation.
Let me ask this question too really quickly before we get to line three. We've got to call him. I'm going to get to your question in 2 seconds. Let me ask this of Eric, because I know for women, we all have support groups that we can go to and talk among each other about our treatment and how we're feeling and how this is affecting us. Were you a part of those talks, or did you deal with it kind of on your own, or how did that work for you?
For the most part, I was on my own. Part of it was that stigma, again, being a man and didn't want to go and sit in a room
with a bunch of women
that, you know, I didn't feel like I was going to be able to relate to them. But the irony is that I was invited to speak at a support group, and I truly saw the value and the need and the connectivity. So that some of the women there asked me to start speaking with their husbands and kind of explaining to them
what they're dealing with. What they need from their partner, their husbands.
And then I had another perspective on it. So I was able to talk to the guys and say, look, she might not feel well. It has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. It's about her trying to regain her sanity through this process. And so she's going to probably be a little standoffish. And if she's gone through a mastectomy, no, that's not about you. It's about her and her recapturing and feeling whole again and getting away from the fear that has captivated her with this diagnosis.
And it's always so important to have a support system, family members and things of that nature. Now, let's go to some phone calls we've got here. On line three, we've got Mr. Z from Decatur. What's your question, Mr. Z?
Okay. The question is, I've heard that there can possibly be a cancer mentality or cancer stress mentality that sometimes precipitates cancer. What do you know about that? Is there a possibility?
Well, I mean, in general, and not speaking as a physician, but just as a layman, it could happen. I think that if you have stress, stress can always induce other ailments. And anybody that's under continuous stress, the body is weakened in the immune system. I truly believe that it's possible, and I'll let the doctor either support or say against, that it's possible that we all have cancerous cells. Now, whether or not those cells develop and begin to multiply is depending on your immune system and what's going on in your body. Because remember, cancer is just cells. And it's just cells that go have grown in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doctor, you want to address that, or do you want to move on to to our next person really quickly?
I'll just touch on that. Cells in the body grow normally. For whatever reason, the brain center of the cell decides to change its characteristics and grow abnormality. Whether stress plays a role in that, I really can't say. Mm-hmm. But in general, to make you a whole person and a well-lived person, you should try to reduce your stress and exercise and eat right and do things that can reduce your stress. And turn, that will help reduce your risk factors that increase you at risk of developing cancer.
Or anything else.
Or any other
or heart attack.
Exactly.
Yeah. Diabetes and all the other.
Right. Let's go to line two. We've got Gerald from Norcross who has a question. Hey, Gerald. Are you there, line two? Gerald? Okay, maybe we lost Gerald. Sorry about that. Gerald, if you're still listening, call us back. We want to get your question. Okay, let's go to line six. Suzanne, who's in Atlanta. Suzanne, what's your question? Okay, Suzanne's not there, so let's continue on with our conversation. So, doctor, let's talk about, because I know for Eric, we talked about his follow-up mammograms, and one of the things I think it's, you know, interesting, is there something that needs to be, I don't know, because I guess the numbers are so low in male breast cancer, so I know when Eric has to go get his mammogram, it's probably more difficult for you because there's a certain point that men aren't allowed on that floor. But you have to be admitted onto the floor. So how does that make you feel knowing?
Well, you know, at first it was a little humiliating. At first, I won't deny that. When I first went in, I was very quiet and trying to let the receptionist know that I was coming in for a mammogram. And she looked at first and she paused for a second and she looked back at my chart and decided to go ahead and push forward for me to obtain the mammogram. I think as a whole, because breast cancer in men has been talked about more, that hospitals as a whole have become more receptive and understand. And so now I go in and there's not a problem. In fact, the last time that I went, there were two other gentlemen sitting in there that I thought was sitting waiting for their wives, and they were waiting to get mammograms.
Okay. We have been talking to Dr. Leslie Holmes. And she's been answering some of your questions. We've also been talking to a 13-year survivor, Eric Dunlap, who is a breast cancer survivor. And me, I'm a 6-year cancer survivor. Of course, don't forget, we can take your questions. Give us a call at 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. We're coming right back.
It's 2013, and there are now modern methods of detecting and treating prostate cancer. For you, this means that many prostate cancers are now found earlier and can be treated more effectively. Remember, the earlier you find out about prostate cancer growth, the easier it will be to treat. So the solution is simple. Get screened today and enjoy a life without having to worry about prostate cancer. This announcement in the public interest is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.